decided to be here tonight, especially to those that are visiting with us. We thank you for coming. We hope that you'll come back and be with us at every opportunity you have. In Hebrews chapter 11, what is many times referred to as the great Hall of Faith chapter in the Bible, there are a number of individuals that are listed that had great faith. As they had an obedient faith, not just simply, I believe God and I believe that God is real and that God can do what God says He can do, but they had a faith that is demonstrated in action, an obedient faith. When they had the faith that would cause them to do the things that God would instruct them to do. A number of individuals are stated in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4. We read about Abel. Verse 5 about Enoch. Verse 7 about Noah. Abraham is mentioned in verse 8. Sarah, verse 11. And then before he goes on to mention others, there's a statement made concerning these in Hebrews 11, 13. That these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them, and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Then he goes on to talk about others in verse 20, about Isaac and Jacob, verse 21, and Joseph, verse 22. Moses is talked about, Rahab and the children of Israel marching around Jericho and so forth and so on. Then we come to chapter 12. And in verses 1 and 2, and Ethan, you did a good job reading this passage, and I appreciate it. Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. This is in light of the ones that he just talked about in chapter 11. Let us lay aside every weight. This is talking to you and me, Christian people. What we're to do, lay aside every weight. And the sin which has so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. I hope tonight, if you're not a Christian, that you'll seriously give consideration to that before this evening is over, that you'll do that and begin to run that race that is set before God's people. And then in verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher, some versions may say the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down on the right hand of the throne of God. And then in verse 3, he says, consider him. And he goes on to talk about our great high priest, Jesus the Christ, the Son of God. If I asked you this evening, why do you look unto Jesus? Why did you decide, those of you who have, most of you have, why did you decide to become a Christian knowing you would be a disciple of Christ? That you would follow after Jesus. There are a lot of other individuals that you could have followed, but you made the right decision in following Jesus. Why do you look unto Him? Do you ever think about that? Someone says, well, He's the Son of God. Well, indeed He is. Well, why else do you look to Jesus? I mean, the passage says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. So why do you look to Jesus? I want to give you some reasons why we need to look to Jesus. Keep looking unto Him. Or if you're not a Christian, you need to begin looking unto Jesus. I'll just mention a few of them. There are at least 12. I've gotten the outline, but we'll talk about maybe 5 or 6 of them. The first one I want you to think about is the fact that He is the one that was sent by and approved of the Father. That can't be said about anyone else. No one had the mission that Jesus had. You know, there are people I've mentioned to you before that believed that Jesus was a real person. They believed He did a lot of good things. They believed He had a good number of followers. But yet they don't believe that He was the Son of God. And when you read the writings of Josephus, and I don't know what type of faith as far as an obedient faith that Josephus had or not, I don't know. But he writes about Jesus. He was a first century historian, wrote soon after then. And he wrote about Jesus, mentioned some of the events that took place with Jesus and the disciples and the Jews. But yet whether or not he believes Jesus was the Son of God and obeyed Him is a completely different thing. Jesus was the one that was sent by and approved of the Father. I think about the passage over in the book of Galatians when Paul is writing to those of Galatia, these churches of Christ in this area. And he's instructing them and really getting them to understand that they have fallen from grace if they turn and try to be justified by the law of Moses. Galatians 5 and in verse 4. And he's teaching them you cannot live a straddled life. That is, you can't live with one foot serving the law of Moses and the other foot trying to serve Christ. That won't work. And in Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5, he says, but when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law. Well, why did He come? To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Jesus is the one who was sent by the Father, purposed to do the Father's will. In Acts chapter 2, verse 22, the opening to Peter's Pentecost sermon, he said, you men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God. Now, how was he approved of God? By miracles, signs, and wonders, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. He was approved of the Father, and it was shown forth that the Father approved of it by the fact that he worked the miracles that he did, and the signs and the wonders. But also the fact that it's pointed out in our scripture reading in Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, that He is the author, the finisher, perfecter of our faith. The best Bible definition of faith is found in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 and 2. Then he goes on to say that without it, it is impossible to please God, for he that comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Hebrews 11, verse 6. And in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 9, the Bible says, receiving the end of your faith. What is the end of our faith? Even the salvation of your souls. Jesus Christ is the author, the perfecter, the finisher of our faith. Without Him, it would be impossible to do the things that we do. As Paul would write to those of Colossae, are we complete in Christ? But also, why look unto Jesus? You could look unto Buddha, you could look unto Muhammad, you could look unto a number of people, but why Jesus? Because Jesus is the one in which salvation is found. It is not found in anyone else. All of these I'm convinced you probably already know, but we all need to be reminded. In Acts chapter 4, and in verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other. He's talking about Jesus. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. And in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 10, notice where God placed salvation. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sakes, that they may also obtain the salvation, and watch this, which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. If you're outside of Christ, you can't be saved. You have to be in Christ in order to be saved, because God put salvation in Him. Why look unto Jesus? Because in Him is salvation. Number 4. Jesus shed His blood for all of us. Isn't it amazing that individuals today don't believe that that's the case? They say, oh, He shed it for me, but they don't believe that He shed it for everybody. They believe in limited atonement, that He didn't shed His blood for everybody. But the Bible says otherwise, Hebrews 9:22 and Matthew 26:28, and I believe that was the reading for the Lord's Supper this morning. It was a good reading. The fact that He shed His blood for many for the remission of sins. Why look unto Jesus? Because His blood was shed for the remission of sins. That doesn't mean because they were already shed, or because they were already forgiven, rather. Folks get to Acts 2:38 and they want to use that word for to say because of, repent and be baptized because of the remission of your sins, that they've already been remitted. That won't work. Then you have the blood of Jesus Christ being shed because sins were already remitted. And there's no passage in the Bible that will allow that. But also because His example that was left for us to follow. We talked about some example setting this morning. The sermon, I appreciate the good feedback on that sermon. That was an encouragement to me, but 1 Timothy chapter 4 and then verse 12, being an example in word and faith and charity, conduct and so forth, and elders over a flock of God's people is to be example setters in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1 and following. The Bible says that Jesus left us an example. You read about that in 1 Peter chapter 2. And then verse 21 beginning. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow in his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Then he's going to qualify. He's going to give some specifics on what Jesus did. Who, when he was reviled, verse 23, reviled not again. Sometimes we might want to revile, we might want to rebuke or retaliate against others that have wronged us. Jesus didn't do that. He didn't fight or fight back. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Why look unto Jesus? Because he is the best example afforded to mankind. I hope the lesson's been beneficial to you. If you have questions about the things, be sure to let me know. I always try to make myself available if you have questions or comments. You go ahead and make comments. I always try to remind individuals listening to the radio and TV program that if they have comments or questions, let us know. If they have comments, if they want to say, "Preacher, I disagree with you," go ahead, tell me you disagree with me. That's okay. I'll listen to you. If you have a question, ask the question. If I don't know, I'll just simply say, "I don't know." And we'll study together until we get a Bible answer. Appreciate your attention this morning, this evening as well. Should you be in the assembly tonight, having never obeyed the gospel of Christ, have an opportunity to do that. By hearing the gospel, Romans 10:17, believing it, John 8:24, repenting of your sins, Luke 13:3-5, confessing your faith in Christ that you believe that He is the Son of God. A number of passages talk about that. Acts 8:37, perfect example. And the eunuch said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And then be baptized for the remission of your sins. Acts 2 and verse 38. Maybe you have done that, but you've turned your back on the Lord. You've not been living as you should. And you realize that you've come to yourself and you want to be restored. Repent of your unfaithfulness. Make confession unto God in prayer. We'll pray with you and for you. Don't delay.